Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Bishop Michael Beck Sr., the business bishop, CEO of Truth Radio and Television Network. We're a streaming broadcast station bringing tools to take you to the next level with mission-driven messages, best in entertainment, advice, resources from some of the most influential businesses, ministries, and relationships, as well as personal development leaders in the world. Inspiring everyday people with a true passion for love, life, business, and what they do best. If you'd like to take what you do to the next level, your exposure is based upon your expansion. Your expansion is based upon your exposure. What we'd like to do is to help you get to the next level. If you'd like to partner with us, if you've enjoyed the program that you're now listening to, give us a call at 818-280-8198. 818-280-8198. If you have something that you'd like to share with the world, give me a call, 818-280-8198. Remember, truth crushed to earth will rise again.
Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up.
We sort of conflate a number of different issues that is happening right now in our communities. Yes, it is the summer, but those of you who are in K-12 education, you completely understand that your work is never done. It never stops. It never ends. As always, we often go with a quote in which we anchor and ground our show. And tonight's quote is one that comes from one of my favorite authors, favorite activists in our community, Brother James Baldwin. And James Baldwin said that, "I do not pay attention to or care what you say because I see what you do." You'll see what I mean when I talk about the fact that we look at action versus what is written, what is said, and what is espoused. And so, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are on the radio tonight, I am excited to be able to bring this conversation to you. Just speaking with our CEO recently, Bishop Bates, Bishop Michael Bates. You know him, an amazing man, incredible humanitarian, and a superb human being. And one of the things we talked about is the fact that based on our analytics for this show, we have about 36,000 listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I want to take this moment to certainly express gratitude for each and every one of you. 36,000 listeners means that you believe that there is something that we are sharing with you every single week that has value. We've shared with you not just the work, not just what is happening currently, but we've talked a lot about the work that I'm doing in terms of the book that I've shared, the content of the book with my co-author and I, Ms. Nicole Price, The Power of 7 Second Chances, Obtaining Success Without Firing a Rest. And some of you have reached out to me inquiring about the first book, Prisoners or Presidents, Prisoners or Presidents, The Simple Things That Changes Everything When Leaders Lead, Like Life Depends on It. Tonight, I just want to share with you those two resources. I'm not here to promote the book on tonight, but tonight I want to talk just a little bit, maybe just for a few minutes, and then I'll get off the air because it is the summer, and I am working really hard, really diligently with some of the most amazing school leaders here in this country, especially this side of the Mississippi. So what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight is something that is currently in the news and that is very, very troubling. And so most of you know that in addition to the work that I do, outside of my current pursuit during the day, where I serve as the middle and high school, primarily the high school network superintendent for St. Louis Public Schools, I want to start with a celebration. If you have known me for more than 5 minutes, you know that I do not start any conversation, any meeting without a celebration. And so tonight's celebration is simply this. St. Louis Public Schools, approximately 72 schools, 13 high schools, one alternative high schools, which means that we are 14 schools. But amongst those 13 high schools, this year, U.S. News and World Report and some other credible reporting agencies, we have 6 high schools that are ranked in the top 50 in the state. Here is what is even more exciting about that. We have the number one ranked high school in the state of Missouri. The first time, I think, in the history of the rankings, the number one high school in the state. So we have the number one high school in the state of Missouri, the number 9 ranked high school in the state of Missouri, the number 25 or 25th ranked high school in the state of Missouri, and then we have 3 additional schools, high schools, that are in the top 50. So here's why this is important for you all to know. There are about 526 school districts in the state of Missouri, and St. Louis Public Schools, a public school system that has spent about 9 years without being an accredited institution, because the state decided that there were some failures, there were some shortcomings, there were some areas of growth that prevented us from being accredited. But under the auspices of an amazing special administrative board and a superintendent who I believe is the best district leader that I have ever encountered, and I have encountered a number of solid school leaders in Washington, D.C., in Baltimore City, and in New York. But this gentleman, and I'm going to mention his name, but he hates to be acknowledged publicly because he is so humble, Dr. Kelvin Adams, a superintendent who has turned this district around. Now we are a fully accredited school district. So what I want to do tonight is to celebrate the fact that, yes, we are a district, the state of Missouri, that has about 526 school districts, but St. Louis Public Schools has the number one ranked high school in the state of Missouri. Allow that to sink in. You'll hear it over and over again. We have the number one ranked, the number 9th ranked, and the 25th ranked school districts in the state of Missouri. But yes, that is a time for us to celebrate. Yes, it's important. Yes, it's amazing. But you wonder why I still lose sleep. Let me tell you why I still lose sleep. So here we are, school district, some of the best high schools in the state. St. Louis City. But in the past few weeks, St. Louis City has been ranked in the top 5 cities as being the most dangerous cities to live in these United States of America. Radio listeners, 36,000 plus of you who are listening on tonight, please empathize with me. Please allow this to resonate with you. Here is where I am. We had a weekend of violence last week. We had a weekend of violence 2 weeks ago. We had a weekend of violence 3 weeks ago. And so for the past 3 weeks, we have experienced and seen nothing but violence. So why am I talking about this on the radio show that you tune into every single week with the hopes of being empowered, educated, edified, and enlightened about what is happening in K-12 education? Why am I talking about the level of violence in our city? So thank you for asking that question via the ear without even saying anything. And let me tell you why. As a school district, and this is not only applicable to St. Louis Public Schools, but this is applicable to every single school district in this country that serves urban students. The level of violence, level of social deficiencies that occurs in any district has to be aligned and attributed to what is happening in the school system. So yes, St. Louis Public School District, we are getting traction around the work that we're doing. We're building the academic capacity of students. We're creating students who are being prepared to go on to colleges, universities. Yes, we are in a place where if we want to, we can become braggadocio. But because our superintendent, Dr. Kelvin Adams, is so humble, because he's not someone who boasts or brags about what is happening, because he's someone whose personal goal is about giving kids opportunities, about empowering the community, about remaining in a place of not being recognized, but giving every individual who walks through our doors the opportunity to get things right, he will not speak out. But allow me to share with you, under his leadership for the past 9 years, not only did we become a fully accredited institution once again, but we have, again, 6 schools that are ranked in the top 50 in this state. But in spite of that, I just hinted at the fact that we are also ranked in the top five of being one of the most dangerous cities in these United States. If I share with you, ladies and gentlemen, and this indulges me for a little bit, because you know very well that I do. If you have known me for more than 5 minutes, you will know that I detest, I dislike, I hate to speak to the negative that has happened in our communities. But just about 2 weeks ago, we had 17 individuals who were shot, many of whom were killed, over a two-day weekend in the city of St. Louis. This is a beautiful city, a powerful city, a city that just elected a mayor who is doing amazing work, in even in her recent tenure. But yet we are not able to take control of what is happening with crime in our city. To give you an idea, for example, a young lady, Andrea Cunningham, who's the mother of Jessica Garth and the grandmother of Danae Irvin, was found at a vigil comforting. My goodness, just indulge me for a second. This really, really, really speaks volumes. But she was found comforting another family member at a candlelight vigil that I attended a few weeks ago in Cornerhand Park in Jennings on Friday, June 2nd in 2017, because, you see, the vigil was held to support a seven-year-old Danae, Lord have mercy, Danae, to remember her mother, Jessica Garth. You see, there were three people who were shot on this weekend. So that same weekend, when we had 17 people shot and many of them killed, Danae, who was 77 years old, we wanted to remember her mother, Jessica Garth. Some family members even responded by saying that Danae died on Saturday after being shot in the back of the head, yet her mother and her grandmother. See, LaShonda Griffin, who was a relative of theirs, said that, look, Danae was on life support on Sunday at 7 years old. Then she should be enjoying her time in preschool, in elementary school. 7 years old. This speaks to the fact that seven, and you have often heard me speak about the fact that seven is the number, based on numerologist reports, the number of completion and perfection. She should not have died. The city is known as one of the top five most dangerous cities in the country. I listened to a school superintendent recently, Dr. Adams, who said that he is committed to making sure that every single student receives multiple opportunities to get it right. And then on last Thursday, I listened to one of the colonels of the St. Louis Police Department, who said that, look, we are committed to making sure that St. Louis City gets better. The interim commissioner of St. Louis Police Department talked about the fact that he is frustrated. He does not know what to do. He is committed to putting a lot of police into the streets, putting detectives into the streets, utilizing the gang units, to make sure that we become a safe city. Radio listeners, you are probably wondering, why am I conflating crime and the city's issues with this radio show that focuses primarily on K-12 education? And here's what I'll say to you on this evening. I believe that in this city of St. Louis, and as in every other urban city in this country, we have to own what happens with crime in this city, in our cities. If there is ever a superintendent, assistant superintendents, and school principals who believe that what is happening with regards to the social aspect of the city, especially as it relates to crime, has nothing to do with them, you're either simply naive, you're not as committed as you need to be, or you are shirking your responsibilities. And here's why I say that. If you take a look at who are, when you do a deep, conduct a deep dive, and you look at the analytics of who the criminals are in every urban city in America, the majority of criminals are between the ages of 21 and 35. Based on the national crime statistics, the number of criminals who are between the ages of 21 and 35 are individuals who most likely have graduated from the public school system in those cities. And in the case of the city of St. Louis, we are graduating young people who, yes, we have put a lot of work, time, commitment, and effort into preparing them for the real world. But yet, when we look at the crime rate, they are out here either gangbanging, killing and murdering people. This is not all of our graduates. This is a small fraction, but it is more of a fraction. It is important enough for us to recognize that they are creating a havoc. They are being a menace. And so what do we have to do? We, as a public school system, have to own what is happening in our community, what is happening in the St. Louis City. Because right now we have a school district that is on the rise. We have a school district that rivals any urban school district in the country. We have a school district, ladies and gentlemen, that is a model essentially for most urban districts. And all of this should be attributed not only to the SAB, the Special Administrative Board of Rick Sullivan, Richard Gaines, and our newly appointed Administrative Board member, Ms. Clingsgill, but we have to attribute this to the amazing work and commitment of our superintendent, Dr. Kelvin Adams. But here is what I will say to every one of you. Until our school district, until every school district owns the fact that criminal activity, the rising crime rate, has a correlation to what is happening in our K-12 education system, especially the 9 through 12 high schools, we are not going to make any progress. We are not going to make sure we have an impact. And so here's what I want to say to you as I try to wrap up this conversation prematurely with our superintendent, to engage our board, to speak with the mayor and engage every community member and to get them to understand that we are going to own what is happening in our society. Yes, we are focused on preparing students to be academically inclined, to be scholastically sound, to make sure that they are getting good grades in our math subjects, which is math, English, science, and social studies. We want to make sure that they are getting the right scores on our ACT and SAT exams. But are we preparing them to become productive, respectable, well-rounded citizens in our society? Yes, on the Kelvin Adams, we are doing just that. But I still think that there's so much room for growth because we should not live in a city where the school district, St. Louis Public Schools, is getting better each and every day. We should not dwell in a district whereby if amongst our 13 high schools, six of them are ranked in the top 50 in the state. Yet we are supposedly the most dangerous city in the state. With 17 shootings and murders in one weekend, we are failing in some way, some shape, and we have to own that. So, yes, you would know that if you have ever had a conversation with me for about 5 minutes, you will know that I will not uplift conversations or lift issues that are just about what is happening with our problems. But you know that I will also try to provide a solution. And so here are my solutions, if I may. The first step is for us as a school district to own that. We have to make sure that we are taking responsibility for what is happening in terms of the crime rate in this city. The second solution is we have to recognize that a lot of our young people, a lot of our students in K-12 education are hurt. They're hurting. They've had traumatic experiences. And so in order for us to address them, we have to recognize what those traumatic experiences are. The first solution is simply this. We have adults, teachers, social workers, counselors, secretaries, and school leaders who are just as hard of our students. So our students are experiencing a lot of trauma, but we have school leaders who are experiencing the same trauma. And until we as district leaders can provide some support to make sure we are alleviating and mitigating that trauma, we are not going to be able to help those principals, to help their teachers, who will in turn trickle down to help those students. So radio listeners, all 36,000 plus of you, here is my suggestion to you in the terms of the four suggestions. We know that hurt people hurt people. And if we do not provide our school leaders with the right support to build their morale and build capacity and acknowledge and exercise what is happening with them, we're not going to get to the place where we can support them. The fifth solution is simply this. We need to make sure that we are going into our schools and going into our communities and asking our students and asking our parents and other stakeholders, how can we help you? This is so much more than reading, writing, and math, science, and social studies. What do you need from us? How can we give you hope? How can we inspire you to make sure that you understand that there's so much more than what is happening in your community? Here's my sixth suggestion to you. The sixth suggestion is simply this. We want to uplift and bring and put before you the fact that look at these. We're blaming other people. We're blaming the people from different communities. We're blaming people from different societies. But we are not looking internally and recognizing that we have exercised and continue to perpetuate a crop in a barrel mentality where we say that if we see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 10 of you who are trying to get out, we are going to pull you back. We have become victims of, we have succumbed to the villain syndrome. The willingness letter, it says that if you want to divide a group of people, if you want to divide black, brown, and colored people, all you have to do is to make sure that you make sure that there's internal conflict amongst them, and they will never get to the place where they'll surpass their expectations. They'll rise above what they're capable of, and they will be subjected to nothing but control. And the seventh and final solution that I have to share with you is simply this. Any urban school district in this country, anywhere in America, has to own what is happening in the larger society. We have to own what it means to be a violent community. There is no way in St. Louis City, in this amazing city, in the show me state of Missouri, in the state where everyone travels from all over the world to come to see the beautiful arch, to come to experience our Midwestern hospitality. There's nowhere that you should come to the city and experience violence. There's nowhere that you should experience the city that has a public school system that is on the rise, a superintendent that is doing amazing things, and a group of principals, a cadre of 70-plus principals who are amongst the best that I've seen anywhere in this country. The only way we can get better at this, and this is my seventh and final solution, is for us, those of us who are leading at the district level, to recognize the importance, the value, the magnitude, the support, and the commitment of every single principal in this district. We honor you. I speak on behalf of your network superintendents. Even though there are times when we fail to share with you how much we care, how much we support you. And on the radio tonight, I've spoken with several of you today, at least 50 of you today, and you said that you do not feel valued. Please know that you are valued. My network colleagues and I appreciate your work. We value you. We appreciate you. And I am not going to speak for the superintendent because he would make it very clear to you that no one speaks for him. But let me take the liberty of saying that based on my knowledge of him, based on my interactions with him, I fully understand that he believes in you. Yes, we have those three core values. Data-driven instruction first. And certainly the third and final, not necessarily in this order, of our core values is that people matter. You know that our superintendent, your superintendent leader, Dr. Kelvin Adams, he believes in putting people first. And I want you to recognize and understand that he has not changed or wavered from that. And so my sharing with you tonight is simply this. It is your responsibility. It is our responsibility to recognize and acknowledge that you as school leaders in this district, 70-plus principals, your assistant principals and your teachers, we appreciate you. We love you. We care for you. And so what is happening during these summer months while you are planning, preparing, being committed to welcoming students again, for you to understand that you, we, together, we have to own what is happening in St. Louis in terms of the violence, in terms of the depreciation and denigration of what is happening socially. We cannot say that this is a law enforcement issue. We are the educators. We are the empowers. We are the edifiers. We are the evaluators. We have to prepare our young people so that what happens in our K-12 education system will better prepare them for what happens in their post-educational pursuit. And unless we decide to own that, we're not going to be in a good place. And so what I'll say to you, finally, is this, school leaders, I've heard you loud and clear today. Please know that you are doing the most amazing work of our time. Regardless of who sits in the White House, who heads Congress, who the speaker is, who the superintendent is. You are doing the most amazing work, and for that we value you. For that we care for you, and I need to share with you that you are valued. And so here's what I'll close with, and here's what I'll leave with. Please know that as you go into your preparations for school year 17-18, come August 17th, more than 24,000 students will return to you, knocking on each and every one of our doors. I want to encourage you all to open up those doors. Welcome them with open arms. Show them that you're culturally responsive. Show them that you not only value how they can score, what they can do, how they can achieve on standardized exams and assessments, but I want you to show them that you care. Show them that you believe in their future. Show them that you're not judging them. I want you to share with them that you are willing to be vulnerable because you believe that they are the best that our society have, and that you believe that they are the future of what happens with this country. And you cannot show that in words. You cannot show that by talking about it. It has to be indeed. And so in closing, here's what I will say to you. Those of us who are in district leadership positions, who are at the central office, we are committed to providing you with the resources, the support, and the love that you need to get better at what you do. Those of you who are middle and high school leaders who work with me personally, please know that I am committed to being there for you. Whether you are in St. Louis Public Schools or any one of the other districts amongst the more than 50,000 districts in this city, sorry, in this country that my co-author, my business partner, Nicole Price, and I work with, I want you to recognize that we are coming to your district to bring paradigm shift, to bring a philosophy that you will embrace, understand, and acknowledge that it will, if you embrace it, support the work that you're doing. Thank you for your service, school leaders. Thank you for your service, assistant principals. Thank you for your service, teachers. Thank you for your service, superintendents all over the country. But I want you to recognize that the work that you do is so much more than reading, writing, and math. We have urban school districts. We have urban areas. We have cities that are failing because we are seeing increases and getting traction in what is happening educationally, but yet our cities are failing because of an increase in crime rate, because we are seeing a deteriorating and diminishing societal value that is being placed on life, that is being placed on liberty, that is being placed on what is happening in our communities. And unless the K-12 education system starts to own that, unless we start to lead from a place of empathy and compassion, unless we recognize that the work that we do, that our responsibility, that our social contract is more than reading, writing, and math, we are not going to be able to have the impact that we are capable of having. And so in closing tonight, I'll say this to you, school leaders. You are doing an amazing job. You are doing a heck of a job. Don't listen to anyone else who do not value you, who do not appreciate your work. Those of us who are close to this field know that you are valued and you are doing a heck of a job. And so what I want to say to you is simply this. Please remember the 5 E's that we often espouse in this radio show. To be able to educate, to empower, to enlighten, to edify, and certainly to use empathy to engage every stakeholder with whom you interact. But more importantly, I want you to recognize that you are irreplaceable. I want you to recognize that the work that you do will manifest itself in what happens with our young people 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 years after they graduate. I want you to recognize that this is important work. And as always, in closing, remember, you will know whether or not you have an impact. You will know that you are valued if, when you walk long distances, your feet never hurt, or when you're encountered by negativity, that your heart never breaks. Because you are amazing, and we need you, and we love you if you are in a school leadership role, or you are an educator, or you are a teacher. And so what I want to say to you is simply this. Thank you for being an amazing leader. I will see you on the radio next Wednesday, same time, same place. Know that I love you, and I appreciate all of your work. Good night. God bless. One love.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
the heavens. No man, no weapon formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us.